Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Matalon. And coach, welcome.
Happy to be back, Jerry.
So coming off of a 19-10 win over Siena Tuesday night and a 14-4 win over Stony Brook on Saturday night, and now looking ahead to the last three games of the season, Dartmouth on Saturday, 2 o'clock, face-off in Hanover, then home against Harvard, then at Cornell. Princeton 0-3 in the Ivy League, just as they were a year ago. Win out and see where the chips fall where they may for the tournament. The Ivy tournament, but really need to win all three to be in contention for that, and that's basically the summation of where you are right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's playoff lacrosse for the Tigers, and you know, we're excited about the opportunities ahead. We've got to handle our business, and we're prepared to.
Do you know who Elmer Weisheit is?
I don't. I feel like I haven't been doing great on trivia. I've got to prepare a little better.
So Elmer Weisheit, in 1942 for Princeton, had a 12-point game against the Montclair Athletic Club, and that has long been recognized as the school record for points in a game. In the game against Siena, Michael Sowers had 11 points, 6 goals, 5 assists, something that had been done twice earlier. David Tickner did it in the 1970s, and Dave Eubeck did it in the 1970s. So nobody had had an 11-point game since then. My question is, what is the Montclair Athletic Club, and does that actually count as the school record, or did Michael actually set a school record last night? Because, and I have to look into this more to find out who these people were, but like, if it wasn't a college team, presumably that shouldn't count as the record.
Well, you know, I mean, that's an incredible performance by that gentleman. And what's his name again?
Elmer Weisheit.
All right, I'll remember that.
Class of 42.
No, that's really impressive. That's an outstanding record. And Michael was very close to it last night, but I was unaware.
I was going to text you and tell you, you know, that he had 11 points, but one, you didn't have your phone with you, I was pretty sure.
No, I did not. And, you know, we wouldn't have put him back in under those circumstances.
And it's not like he got 11 points in a game that was 22-4. I mean, that game was close. It was 8-5 at halftime. It was 12-7 points in the third quarter. So it's not like that was a blowout from start to finish. And I thought, actually, Siena looked pretty sharp offensively. They moved the ball really well.
Yeah, they've got the I believe they have the least amount of turnovers out of any team per offensive possession and offensive efficiency out of any team in the country. So they are a stronger unit on that end of the field. And you know, coming off our Stony Brook game, that was one of our better team performances of the year in terms of a full 60 minutes. So we were really hoping to build on that. And you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to separate early on in this game. You know, I think Siena did an outstanding job of closing the gaps and keeping it within three, getting it with two a handful of times. You know, I was really looking for our guys to step up and create some separation, and it didn't happen until far later.
So you want to talk about Michael now, or you want to get back to him?
We can always talk about 22.
I don't think we talk enough about him.
Because, well.
No, because it's my thing. Like, because we could talk day and night about what Michael Sowers does, but we don't, you know, so like we want to talk about everybody. And I think, you know, maybe we sell him a little short, actually. And I think he's a very team-oriented kid.
He is. He absolutely is.
And I think he almost is embarrassed by all the individual attention that he gets. But I also feel like he can have a larger national profile. And I think some of that is, you know, our reluctance to talk him up as much as we could. Not that, you know, like, I'm not blaming us. I'm just saying that, you know, our tendency is to, you know, we talk about him, but we don't like just constantly go on and on about all the things that we could go on about Michael Sowers.
No, he's really incredible. I mean, look, we play a team sport, and Michael lives that and embodies that every day. So, you know, he really doesn't like the spotlight. You know, he doesn't shy away from it, but you know, he would trade every accolade, every goal, every point he could to bring this team to an NCAA tournament and take a run at it. And that's why he's a great captain. That's why he's a great leader in our program. That's why he sets a great example. So, and I think that's why, you know, as the head coach of this program, that's exactly the type of guys we want in our program that embody those characteristics. So, you know, we're proud of him for that.
So if you took just Michael's three Tuesday games, because Princeton played three Tuesday games this year against Navy, Denver, and Siena, just those three games alone, he would be third on the team in points.
That's a great statistic, Jerry.
he has 11 goals and 15 assists in three.
Yeah, he's done a heck of a job on
now,
these Tuesday
night
games.
Now, is some of that actually because team doesn't have as long to prepare for him?
It very much could be. You know, shorter weeks of preparation mean you kind of have to sink into what you do, and you've got less time to create a junk defense or to create a Michael Sowers team-oriented defense. So you may be right.
So let's talk about some of the other stuff about Michael. He now has 230 career points. That's in 39 games. He's third at Princeton. Second is Ryan Boyle. He has 232, so he's 2 points away from Ryan Boyle. Ryan Boyle played 57 games, had two more points than Michael has in 39. And Ryan Boyle, I would say, on any reasonable list of the greatest college lacrosse players of all time, would be in the top 50. So you're not talking about chasing down guys who aren't very good. He's 17 points away from Kevin Lowe, who had 60 games played, so 21 more games than Michael has played. And Kevin Lowe is in the U.S. Lacrosse Hall of Fame, and like Ryan Boyle, is on any list of the greatest college lacrosse players of all time.
Anytime you're in the same sentence as Kevin Lowe and Ryan Boyle, you're clearly doing something right. So that makes me happy, as you know, as the guy that gets to coach this young man every day. But it's just, you know, it's a testament to his hard work.
65 points on the season, so he's 12th on the single season scoring list. He still has three regular season games to go, and there's a lot of guys bunched up in front of him between 65 and 70 points. He's first, second, and 12th, and he's, you know, presumably going to move up to first, second, and probably third with average performances the rest of the way. I mean, the numbers he's putting up are extraordinary. I mean, there's nothing comparable to it in the history of the program, and the program has an incredible history. And I know that, you know, for all the time that I've been watching Princeton, there have been a handful of players where you just, every time they touch the ball, you're like, now they have the ball, and let's see what they're going to do. And Boyle was one of those, and Kevin Lowe was one of those, and Tom Schreiber was one of those, you know, and Jesse Hubbard was one of those. But Michael Sowers takes that to an entirely different level, and it's his ability to do whatever he wants to do. He can go right, he can go left, he could take the ball from up top, he loves to initiate from behind the goal. And then what you saw in the game against Siena is, you know, he comes out and he wants to get everybody involved. And he came out in the Siena game and he figured, I can just get my shots up. He had three goals in the first quarter. It's six goals for the game.
Yeah, it was really impressive. And, you know, it's, you know, as we talk and we mention these other guys too, you know, it is worth noting that it really does. There are so many circumstances that play into, you know, one player or a group of players being successful. It could be offensive system. It could be how teams schematically are playing you defensively. And so, you know, Michael is the benefactor of an offensive system that I, you know, clearly he's a focal point of it, you know, or the QB of our offense, as you may say. And last night was really interesting. You know, they played him one-on-one on an island a little bit, and he was able to take advantage of his one-on-one matchup. And you don't often see that, you know, but, you know, it's a matter of
you don't often see the fact that these has the one-on-one matchup, not that he's able to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Excuse me. You don't often see that. And I say the one-on-one matchup without a slide. And, you know, defensive corners may look at it and say, hey, you know what? He can beat you off the dodge, and he can beat you with a feed. So let's take one of those away. So if we take the feeds away, then we may not have a slide. And, you know, maybe he doesn't finish opportunities. And Michael got off and running yesterday, and then we're able to switch some matchups. And it is, you know, in this day and age, it is much more of a big little pick oriented game than it was when Ryan Boyle and Kevin Lowe played. So those guys may have been dodging poles their entire career, where, you know, we've done a very good job of getting switches and allow Michael to dodge some short sticks, which put more pressure on defenses, causing them to slide more or may not. So it's all very impressive, but I just wanted to take a moment to explain that a little bit.
And, you know, the game has evolved. There's no doubt about that. And it's played a bit differently, but in some ways it's also played in a way where defenses are so, you know, there was a time where it was like, all right, you cover him.
Sure, absolutely it is. It's very different.
So, you know, I mean, we could go on all day about Michael. I talked to you last night after the game, and I mentioned that Andrew Song picked a bad night to have a dominant performance because, you know, Michael with the 11 points is what everybody talked about. But Andrew Song, a goal for the second straight game, and his goal against Stony Brook was right-handed. His goal last night was left-handed, which is pretty good for a long stick.
Absolutely.
Six ground balls, two caused turnovers, and you forget he's just a sophomore too.
No, I mean, Andrew had a heck of a performance last night. And I think one of his better plays was, it was actually a man-down stop, I believe, in the second quarter. He just opened up inside, knocked a skip ball down where, you know, Siena was doing a good job executing their extra man offense. And he was able to knock down a play, get a turnover, clear it up and out. And it was just a very good momentum shift for us at that point in the game. So he's very impressive, did a very nice job off the faceoff wing and capitalized on a great opportunity.
And Emmett Cordray, another solid contribution. He's up to 41 points on the season after having 13 for his first 3 years.
And doing an outstanding job. I mean, keeps getting better. You know, great poise on the offensive end. So we're going to look to lean on him down the stretch.
And let's go back to the Stony Brook game. One, Eric Peters, 13 saves, 4 goals against. Really sharp performance by
him. It was a great performance by Eric. He did a heck of a job. I think he saved it at around
765.
There's my quick math on air. Thank you, Jerry. But anyway, no, he did a great job. So we were really happy with the performance.
And then the Roberts brothers starting together on defense. So, there have been brothers who have started. There have been probably brothers who have been two-thirds of some team's starting defense. I can't imagine there's two-thirds of starting defense are brothers who were born in Ireland and grew up in Ireland. Pretty nice story.
It was a very nice story.
And it wasn't just like a sentimental thing. Cajal played well enough to make the USILA team of the week.
Yeah, no, he did an outstanding job. He came in, he stepped up to the challenge, and this is a guy that we've been kind of grooming him all year and getting him ready, and, it was the right time, and he went in there, and he made some great plays, and he's got a great voice down there. He's got a physical presence. And I think, between Aaron and Cajal, they put an extreme amount of pressure on each other to succeed. They've got a nice way of communicating. They're very tough on each other, but I think that makes for a good back line.
So the challenge now is to head up to Dartmouth. Short turnaround after the Siena game, long drive. Messes up your routine a bit in practice because you had the game on Tuesday and now you have the long ride on Friday.
Yeah, it might be good for us. A little mess up might not, it might not hurt us. Keep the guys on the toes, keep them a little more short, sharp, high sense of urgency. So I think everyone's very excited to tackle these next three Ivy games, but absolutely one at a time.
So Dartmouth is obviously a team that has struggled, but they're home. They're always much better at home. And they're a team that feels like they're making some progress, and they are dying to get an Ivy League win as well. And you've had some challenging games with Dartmouth, especially in first halves.
Yeah, Dartmouth's a great program, and it is a program on the rise. Coach Callahan and his staff are doing a great job hitting the road recruiting. They're getting the right guys in there. They're recruiting the same guys that all the other Ivies are. And they're gonna get some kids in there over the next handful of years, and they're gonna keep developing them as lacrosse players. They're a young group this year, but they've got some talented players.
So they lost 12-11 to Hartford, not Harvard, but Hartford last night. Did you notice something about that game?
Yeah, I did. I think there was an inch or two of snow on the ground.
We're hoping
that's cleared up by Saturday.
As the game was going on, it was snowing.
No, it's really wild. Those teams up north, they've definitely got it a little more challenging than the teams down south. But it's a spring sport, so.
What's their style that you have to be concerned with?
They've gotten a heck of a lot more athletic over the years. They do a good job riding. They do a good job clearing the ball. They've got schematically offensively. They've got some slick sticks and some good one-on-one dodgers. So, and then they play some unique styles of defense. They've got a handful of different packages. And they've shown a lot this year, so we've got a heck of a lot to prepare for, but we're excited for it.
And so have you looked at the standings at all? I mean, obviously 0-3 is not where you want to be. 3 games left to get you back to 3-3, which usually gets you into the tournament, to not a year ago. Or is that not something that you can focus on? You just have to worry about each possession, each half, each game?
I mean, look, you absolutely understand it, and you've taken a look at it, but when it comes down to it, you've got to approach, one play at a time, one game at a time. That's the only way to be successful in this game.
And that's 2:00 face-off in Hanover if anybody's going to be up there and wants to go watch it. And if not, you can watch it on ESPN Plus, or you can listen to it on WPRB in the local area. We will be back next week to see how that game went and talk about the Harvard game, which will be the final home game of the year, which is extraordinary. We're already going to talk about the final home game of the year.
Wild.
The women play tonight at home against Loyola. That's a 7:00 start. That is their actually last game of the season, home game. No, I'm sorry. They play Saturday. They play Saturday also against Harvard at home. That's 1:00, and that's their last two home games of the year. So we're already talking about, senior nights and teams playing their final home games. And it
went incredibly fast.
It always does. So the next 3 weeks will go by fast, but there's a lot to play for Princeton, and we'll be back each week to talk about it. Coach Madelon, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
For Princeton men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here each week on the Princeton Laxcast, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.